Psalms 114. This is powerful verse. Verse 7 says, "Tremble, thou earth." Now, in the New Testament, you are the earth. Okay? You're the earthen vessel he sows his word into. It says, "Tremble, thou earthen vessel." That's the way I say it. "At the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water and the flinty rock into a fountain of waters." He turned the rock. So you got to get this. When you're born again, the rock becomes your foundation stone. It's the tried stone, the precious cornerstone that's laid in your foundation. It's laid like that. But when he gets ready to orchestrate and release dominion, he stands up into a fountain of water. That's what he's saying. Turn the rock into a standing water. When the water stands up from the fountain, he's ready to release glory, manifestation, and dominion into the nation. That's what he's doing right now, is he's standing the water up within us. He's going to stand that water. The rock's going to release its water. He says, "They broke the rock in the wilderness, and the waters gushed out." He's going to stand those waters up, and Christ is going to stand up in the living water, because he is the fountain of living water. Is that glorious? Oh, I like that. Hallelujah. Now, I want to share something today. I've been making a statement, and the Lord kind of checked me on something. He goes, "Don't assume they fully understand what you're talking about when you make statements, because of the revelation knowledge." I'll make a statement like, "The living waters is the catalyst by which the right hand of God is released into the earth." In other words, the inheritance of the right hand of God comes by living water, and then it manifests here. He said, "Show them in my word." That whole train of events of how that works. Now, today I'm going to deal with the issue of salvation, but you can do this with every part of that inheritance. What's originating in the right hand of God makes its way into the earth by way of the living water, and then it's manifested and demonstrated here, provided we get our fountains open. Now, people that are in a mediocre form of pride already think they got their fountain open. One of the greatest things you have to realize, if we had it, the city would know it. So it's better for us to be truthful about our situation, not be in denial. Because that's not being out of faith, just to be truthful and say, "We got it." In other words, if I think I got it, I'm going to run around all my life thinking I got it, when we don't have it. If we had it, the city would know it. You can write that down. Because it's an impossibility to contain the fullness of God. When it releases, these are the men that turn the world upside down, or women that turn the world upside down. When it releases, everybody's going to know it. The city's going to know it. The world will take notice. They're not impressed with our religion, but they are very impressed, or will be, when the waters break out. Amen? Hallelujah. So what we want to do is find out how to get what we're looking for. Amen? And not think we already got it. I'd rather take the position, "I don't have it, but I am looking for it." But thank God, for the Holy Spirit has been granting us one key after another, after another, after another, and he's filling the keychain. And this last revelation, or I would say it's the final frontier. It is the final frontier. When you understand the operations of living waters, but more important, if you understand what's in the water, say in the water. The Bible says we have a fountain in us. It said it's a fountain that bubbles up and springs up. And he also said, "Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water." And I'm thinking to the billions of Christians on this planet, how come so few actually have rivers flowing out of them? Rivers, say rivers. I said, "Lord, what is up? You put all this right here. Why do we don't have these things flowing out of us?" He said, "There's several reasons. Mostly, my people don't know what's in the water." When they don't know what's in the water, they won't do anything with it. Secondly, they don't know the process by which it releases, because it takes faith. Listen, if the living waters flowed freely and easily, they are freely. But when God says freely, he means, he goes, I give to him that is thirsty to drink of the fountain of water life freely. When he says freely, it's freely by grace, not freely by works. You can't work for it, but you do have to believe for it. And believing is a work of faith. And if you don't know how to believe and understand the work of faith of believing and what that takes, it's not just having the knowledge and say, I believe it. That's not believing. Believing is an active participation on your part to get that water flowing on a daily basis. It's going to require you speak to it. It's going to require meditation. It's going to require attention. And without those things, it's going to lay dormant. And the water's not going to stand up. If we don't get the water to stand up, we can walk around born again with a rock inside us, but we got to get the rock turned into water, and we need that water to stand upright. And when it stands up into a fountain, it'll get ready to flow. So what we want to do is arm your faith. And I want to be thorough with this. I want you to know what's in that water. If you know what's in that water, you'll give more attention to it. If you don't know what's in it, you'll give less attention. Amen? So we're going to look at that today. So, if you would, turn to John 7 real quick, verse 37. In the last days, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now look at this, verse 38. He that believeth on me, boy, if you could ever get a revelation of what that means, he that believeth on me, you have to believe it. As the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the spirit which he believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. I would write that like this. This spake he of the operation of the Holy Spirit. Because Christ is the living waters. It's very evident. He is the living waters, but the Holy Spirit is the administrator of those waters. He's the governor of those waters. He is the one that takes the waters from their originating source. How do you know that? He showed unto me a pure river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God. That's the Father and out of the Lamb. The life comes from the Father to the Lamb and then it's dispensed into the earth by way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's governing that water, administering the water. He also turns that water to wine. He does the miraculous with that living water once it breaks out. That's awesome. Hallelujah. Now, I want to share a verse with you concerning that, something we have looked at before. Go to Acts 2 real quick. Just a little bit of review here. It's important to understand how this works. If you understand the roles of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then you'll understand how this water works in each perspective role of what's taking place. Is the Father had life in himself, he gave to the Son to have the life. It pleased the Father that in Christ all fullness would dwell. So the Father, when Christ ascended to the right hand of God, according to Hebrews, said he became the appointed heir of all things. The Father gives everything to Christ. He is the recipient heir, the firstborn among many brethren. And the firstborn in the Old Testament always received the inheritance. But our firstborn is unlike any other firstborn. He shares the inheritance with us. And he lets us sit with him in heavenly places. So what he gets, we get. But we have to understand what he laid up for us in heavenly places has to transfer here if it's ever going to be any good. You know why he laid it up there. We've shared this a lot. Because the first Adam lost his inheritance when he gave it to him here in this jurisdiction. The enemy stole it. So what God did with the last Adam, he let him ascend up at the right hand of God and he gave it to him there out of reach of the devil. That's a good thing. Because the devil's ever stolen you from here, you know, he can steal from you, but you still have an eternal inheritance. What we're after right now is not just waiting on God to move. You got to understand the way God works. We've got to know his ways. We are after what he's inherited, how to get it here into the earth. That's what we're after. Once we get this, it's the final frontier for revival to break out. Okay, Acts 2:33, I'm just reviewing just for a minute. It says, therefore, he's talking about Christ's ascension in the right hand, being by the right hand of God exalted. So Christ is exalted at the right hand of God. That's where he received the inheritance. Look what it says here. This is a powerful verse. He says, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, had shed forth this. So when Christ ascends to the right hand of God, he gets the inheritance, and then the Holy Spirit is sent from the Father to Christ in the right hand of God. And the Holy Ghost is sent to the church by the Lord Jesus himself. Now that's important to understand his role and what he's doing, because you're going to have to cooperate with the Holy Ghost to get this water to flow, because he is the governor of this water. And you got to know what he does. So real quick, go to John 16. Today I want to trace the inheritance of what Christ receives in the right hand of God all the way down into manifestation. I want you to know what's in that water. He wants you to know what's in that water. Because if you know what's in that water, you will sell your life out for it. If you know, you'll keep working for it for all your life. What God wants when he says, he that believeth on me, he wants us to believe it's there so much we'll give our life to it. We'll devote our life to that fountain of living water. If I believe my future was in that water, I would sell everything to get it flowing. I would do anything to get it flowing. I'd give my life to get it released. To get that place of being forever settled, you have to know what's in that water. Okay, John 16. We're still talking about the Holy Ghost here. John 16, verse 13. This is speaking of the Holy Spirit. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you in all truth. He'll not speak of himself. Listen to these words. I want you for a minute to take your filtration process and stick it on a shelf. Just for a minute. I want you to hear these words, not what you've been taught. Okay? But you hear what he's saying here. He'll guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of himself. Whatever he will hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me. The way he does that is he takes what is mine. He said he will receive what is mine and he'll show it to you. And the Amplified says he'll disclose it, declare it, and transmit it to you. And then he tells you what's his. He says all things the Father has are mine. Say all things. He's got it. We are working from the perspective of a finished work. I'll say it like this. We, you and me, are believing from a perspective of a finished work. When we're asking God to do something, he's finished it in the heavens. We don't got to get him to do that. He's already done it. What we got to do is get that from heaven to here. And the way he does that is he transfers it by living water. And the Holy Spirit is the agency of transference. He's going to receive of mine. That's why the Father sent him into the right hand. Christ hands him the inheritance. That's what broke out in the book of Acts. The fountain broke out. It says the fountain will burst out of the Lord's people. When that fountain broke out, he said he'll receive of mine. He'll show it. He says he will glorify me. That's his job. Now, when this dispensation's over, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost will all be God. But right now, he's on a mission to glorify the Son. He's going to glorify that inheritance. He's going to glorify that. He's going to transfer it. And he is the agency of transference. Now, remember that when we move into this message today, okay? Now turn to the book of Daniel. What I want to do now, we want to take a specific facet of that inheritance. We're going to show you where Christ inherited it in the right hand of God. And we're going to show you how it transfers by water. And then we're going to show you the fruit of it in the earth by living water. Now, what this is going to do, the importance of this, is to understand when you are working this well to get the water to stand up, you need to know what's in that water. But the more you understand what's in that water, that's what's going to come out of that water. Amen? It's also going to show you what we're contending for here. Glory to God. So Daniel 7, such a powerful, powerful verse. Daniel gets to see prophetically Christ's ascension into the right hand of God. What an amazing vision he gets. He gets to see this before it happens. I'd like to see it still. He watched him ascend up to the Father. Watch this. Verse 13. He goes, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heavens, And he came unto the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So Christ is ascending, they're bringing him before the Ancient of Days, before the Father. Isn't that glorious? He's about to receive the inheritance. And that inheritance is your and mine inheritance as well. So watch what he says. He says, and there was given him, say, dominion, glory, a kingdom, all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. Now, before his ascension, all those kingdoms and all those people and all those nations, for the exception of the Jewish nation at the time, all those kingdoms and nations were still in the bondage of darkness. They had not been born again because he had not ascended up yet. So everyone, when the Father gave him that, it was given to him as inheritance. In other words, God said, I'm going to give this to you. And the way I'm going to give it to you is I'm going to release the power. My living waters and the agency of the Holy Spirit, he's going to empower those waters and he's going to reap a harvest for you. And we're going to use man to do it. You and me. I'm going to open 12 fountains in the early church and it's going to open the whole world up. He's going to open fountains again in these last days. They got the early rain. We're going to get the latter rain. He's going to open the fountains again. And when he do, you're going to see first world glory in first world nation. Powerful stuff is going to break outside the four walls. I had a call last night from Michael Fuller. Some of you know him. He'd been praying and he had a dream last night and he kept calling me. I was in my prayer call. He kept calling me. I said, what? Because I was sitting there in front of the fountain speaking to it, you know, because I had a dream. I said, speak on. Speak on, brother. Speak on. He said, the Spirit broke out in your church. He goes, you went to another level. There was increase everywhere. He goes, you called me to come down. He goes, when I came down, there were people staying the night in the church. They were staying there day and night because the glory of God was so strong in the place. It wasn't lifting. He goes, people wanted to stay there all night. And he goes, there were people sleeping in there because they didn't want to leave the glory. And I'm like, say on, brother, say on. And he goes, and it broke out. And then he goes, you were just real, real calm about everything and just in such a state of peace. And he said, I took him for a tour of the property we were on. He goes, during that tour, like the scene changed from a glorious scene in the earth almost to a heavenly scene, and we got before an ocean. He goes, it was on the edge of your property. Now, all this is vision. You understand that? He goes, it looked like something you would see out of the book of Revelation, that kind of ocean with the glory of God. And he said, everything, and all this ocean. And I got him right in front of him. He says, and there was this platform. He goes, it was a multi-platform itself. He goes, I never seen anything like it. And he goes, there's this huge cigarette boat. And he said it was like 100 foot long. He goes, with the most beautiful color. Some of the colors weren't even on the earth. He goes, it just was so multicolored. And it was sitting on a four-pronged platform with the back end facing us and the front end facing the ocean. It was ready to be launched into the deep. And he said, he asked me, he said, is this your boat? I said, yes. I said, this has been given to me. They that go down to the sea in ships do business in great waters. They that go down into the sea in cigarette boats do business in even greater waters at a faster pace. And I told him this. I said, it's been given to me, and in 2 days we get to go. We get to launch. I don't know if those 2 days mean 2 days now or 2 days after the breakout. But I want to take a ride. Now that boat is the means by which God's going to launch this revival into the nations. Media, all kinds of stuff's up in that. It's just awesome. But we're going to launch quick and fast. Amen. Like those four rivers that broke out of Eden, all of them had meanings. And you put them all together, it says like this, a river of increase is bursting forth with rapidly flowing fruitfulness. That's what all four of those rivers are. Psalm 36, I'm abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house. You make me drink of the river of your pleasures, for with thee is the fountain of life. You know that word pleasure? It's the same word in Eden. Pleasure, it is Eden. The river of his pleasure, because Eden means pleasure. Those waters he took from Eden, he stuck them inside you. Out of your belly will flow the same rivers now. Because the garden has been set inside you because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And that same water that watered the whole earth, it can water the whole earth again. Except it's just coming out of your garden now. Man's job has not changed. The same thing, what we're called to dress and keep the garden. Any of you gardeners know it takes water. You're not grow anything without water. I have a remedy for your desert. How many of you been in the desert wilderness longer than 10 years? Raise your hand. I've been in the wilderness since I've been born again, because until I step into the promised land, I still consider it wilderness. So we get into the land of the creative flow. So I have an end. I have a remedy for our wilderness. One word, water. Two words, living waters. I'll tell you something. It's impossible for a wilderness to stand where there's living waters. Living waters, there is no wilderness anymore. Daniel. So he receives the kingdom. Amen. He ascends up and he receives the kingdom of nations. Now go to Psalms 2 real quick. Psalms 2 verse 6. Did I set my king on the holy hill of Zion? I will declare the decree. Thou hast said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, son, the nations for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now, that was a prophetic picture also of Christ's ascension into the right hand of God. We know that because Acts 13, and I do want you to see this verse, so go to Acts 13 for a moment. What we're doing is establishing the fact that he's already received this city as an inheritance. And he has the power to go win them. But we're going to have to do it his way instead of our way. Because our garage sales, bake sales, and our programs, they're not working. They're not going to create a mass harvest in this city. All our activity and our busyness. We can be busy in ministry and not get anything done. You can lap around a lot. And the church is still the same way. We can have the biggest mega church in the world we got in this city. And still, most of this city is ineffective. Thank God we have the mega churches here. Hallelujah. Because Christ has already inherited this city in the right hand of God. He said, ask of me, son. When he got up in the right hand of God, he said, ask of me now. Now, how do we know this is talking about the right hand of God? Watch this. In Acts 13, verse 33, he says, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he was raised up Jesus again, as it is written in the second Psalm. So he quotes the second Psalm. So we know the second Psalm was talking about Christ's resurrection. Okay? He says, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And concerning he that was raised from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer the Holy One to see corruption. That psalm he just referred to was Psalm 16 that directly references the right hand of God. So we know Psalms 2, when Christ ascends to the right hand of God, and he says, now, son, now that you're my beloved son, I've just raised from the dead, you're my new heir, I've got something for you. Ask of me all the nations for your inheritance now. Ask of me the uttermost parts of the earth, your possession, because they're yours. And I'm going to bring a new breed, a new species, out of all the nations. And I'm going to empower my people to do it. And I'm going to set wells of living water inside them. And I'm going to break that living water. I'm going to put my inheritance in that living water. And when it breaks out, the Holy Ghost is going to govern that water. And when he governs that water, he's going to go out and manifest what I'm giving to you right here. Now, why is that important? You must work from a perspective of finished work. Say finished. If you don't believe it's finished, then you're trying to get God to do something he's already done. All we need is the water to break out, because the inheritance is in the water. Say, the inheritance is in the water. How do we know that? Glad you asked. Go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Now we're going to see how he's going to reap the nations, reap the uttermost parts of the earth, how he's going to take that inheritance that God gave him in the right hand of God and release it into the earth. When we get this, church, we are going to have something, because all we got to do is get water now. If you're thirsty enough, you'll find water, especially if you knew there was a gold mine in the water, especially if you knew that his inheritance was in the water. The more you can know that's in that water, he's going to take that inheritance he received from the Father, and he's going to put it in living water. He's going to burst it out of his temples. And the Holy Ghost is going to govern that water. And when it hits the earth, he's going to turn it to wine. He's going to turn it to salvation. How do we know this? We've been in this chapter, so I'll exhort this. Ezekiel 47, what it talked about, water that, what, broke out of the temple, right? Remember, he said it issued out of the right side of the temple. Incredible imagery. Because remember, the temple was facing east towards the Dead Sea. And said waters broke out of the right side of the temple, out from the threshold of the temple. What was the temple built from, by the way? The bottom. Foundation stone, tried stone, precious cornerstone. He was the foundation of the temple, right? Water broke out of the temple. Where was he situated at? Right hand. Where was that temple rock at? Right hand. Where did the water break out? Right hand from under the temple. That's good. That's the same thing as he showed unto me, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the Father, proceeding out of the Lamb. He's going to break out from under the threshold of the temple. Now, Joel 3:18 says it different. He says a fountain will burst out from the Lord's temple. You are the Lord's temple. There's no temple. If water's breaking out from some church, it's coming out of somebody in that church. Because churches and walls and sheetrock do not produce living water. You have it in you. Somebody, when a revival breaks out, learn how to release the water, period. They may have stumbled on it by accident. They may have knew how to do it, but they broke a fountain open. And when a fountain like this breaks open, trust me, the whole city's going to know it. Here's the beautiful thing, and the Lord spoke this to me, and boy, it got me excited. He said, I am going to release my greatest weapon ever. I said, which one is that? He goes, I'm going to release my fountain that's living inside of every one of my people. He goes, I'm going to unlock their fountains in the last day, and I'm going to pour living waters, and I'm going to flood the earth with glory. He goes, and it's sitting inside them. All that stuff you don't know what to do with. You've been running around. You got a fountain of living waters in there. Don't really know what it is. Don't really know what to do with it. So it's just there. Hallelujah. That's all going to change. This water's going to break forth. The fountain's going to burst forth from the Lord's temple, right? Now, we know this fountain broke loose and it started flowing like a river. And he took Ezekiel out. Remember, he took him to the ankles, took him to the knees, took him to the loins. And he got him into waters to swim in. That's baptism. We're going to get there too. Hallelujah. You're going to drink of the water first. Then you're going to get baptized in the water. And then he's going to send that water through you. Now, where are we getting to? We know the water broke out, but let's see what's in the water. What did he inherit when he went in the right hand of God? He inherited what? The nations. He inherited the salvation of the nations. So let's see if this water has salvation in it. Ezekiel 47 verse 8. Then said he unto me, these waters issue towards the east country and go down into the desert. They go into the sea. That's the Dead Sea where nothing lives. Now, the imagery here, the Dead Sea of humanity, that's the Dead Sea. That's all the nations, tongues, and tribes that the Father already gave him as inheritance from. Now he's going to go get that inheritance. And he's going to release the water. And the Holy Ghost is governing that water. He's going to release it in the Dead Sea. Now you got to understand the properties of this water. God's going to change the way we do evangelism. He's going to change the way we evangelize. We're going to release a fountain. That fountain's going to go out in front. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to convict the hearts. And thousands at a time are going to come in. Thousands at a time. And it's going to change the effort by which we preach the gospel. What we got to do is release something much greater than us. Thank God he put it in us. Amen. Now watch this. Hallelujah. Boy, if you get this, you'll spend more time getting that water open. Verse 8, then said unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country. They've already broke out of the temple. And they go down into the desert. And they go into the sea, which being brought forth in the sea, the waters shall be healed. You got to amplify it. It said the putrid waters shall be healed. The putrid waters of the Dead Sea of humanity are going to be healed. Healed. Look at verse 9. This is powerful. He said, and it shall come to pass in Houston, Texas, in the year 2013, because we're not going another year without this water, because I have nowhere else to go, so the water is the final frontier. We will boldly go in where the early church went before. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, say everything, that which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Shall live, shall live, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. Because the waters come thither. There's a great multitude of fish that are going to come out of Houston, Texas. Because the waters have come to you. He's not going to take a dry, dead church and win a city with it. It's not going to happen. He's going to flood the church with water. He's going to burst out of our temple. And when he does, it's going to release on the Dead Sea of Houston, Texas. And everybody that's dead is going to live again. All these people walking around dead. When these waters hit them, you have to understand, once you get baptism, the Holy Spirit is authorized to manifest the inheritance that's in those waters. And because salvation, those waters, as soon as they break out in this jurisdiction, the Holy Spirit has authorization to manifest the inheritance that's in the water. And because salvation's in the water, why is salvation? Because the Father already gave those nations to Christ. He already gave this city. I give you Houston, Texas, as your inheritance. I'll raise up a bunch of crazy people. And I'll put them in a church with a taco stand in front of it. He goes, and I'll have them sit there and wait, sit there and contend, and I'll teach them. And then until they see it, to he that believeth upon me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly will flow the waters of inheritance, and I'll place the nations in that water. I'll put a life in that water that's greater than the death that it meets. And when I release that water, I'm going to give my Holy Spirit charge of that water. He's going to be the authorized chief executive officer of that water. And when it hits the Dead Sea, he's going to produce a salvation. And they're going to say, what must we do? Conviction's going to hit this city. When these waters break out, I say, what must we do to be saved? Because the Holy Ghost is now in charge, and this is his way of evangelism, and this is how he's going to get it done. It's going to get done by the living waters. Very great multitude of fish, because the water showed up. The reason why we don't have a very great multitude of fish, because the waters haven't showed up. They're still in us. Your answer is sitting inside you. The answer to this city is right here. You don't have to cry and scream anymore. You just got to cooperate and speak to the rock. You got to believe. That's what he's requiring. Believe what's in that water. Just believe it's there. Here's what happens. If you don't believe it, you'll go and seek to do your own way. And as soon as you bypass God's way for your way, get the message from last week. Out of the sweat of the brow, you'll bring forth water. You'll revert to the flesh. And when the flesh has waters too, it just doesn't get anything done. It gets stuff done, but it's very hard toil to get it done.
Because what we do, if we don't believe it's in the waters, we're going to replace it with something that we can conjure up. That's what he meant, he that believeth on me. If you believe this is in the waters, you will sell your life for it. You got to get to that point that there is no other way to get it done. Well, God will do it when he gets ready. So he's just sitting up there right now waiting while people die and go to hell. Just waiting. How many, about 2,000 people a minute in the world go to hell? He's just not ready yet. We'll wait. Let another 100,000 go before we get ready. That kind of mentality has not been forever settled, that he already inherited it. He already gave the inheritance. See that? We got to get renewed. He said, there shall be a very great multitude of fish because these waters have come hither. They shall be healed. There's healing in the waters. There's creative miracles in these waters. Everything will live whither the river cometh. I'm telling you straight up, if you hang around here, this church is going to come so alive. I'm telling you, because it's not what man can do, but when these waters break out and start breaking out of multiple vessels here, you won't be able to stand up for the glory that's going to be up in this house. You're going to be wanting to spend the night here. You're going to be saying, God, get me a boat ready to launch me. When will God ever use me? If you get living waters flowing out of you, you will be a servant to those waters the rest of your life. Because they will do more for you than you could have ever done in 20 years. All you got to do is get this water out here. If you think it's that easy, look around. Not here, but churches of the world. Not very many people have those kind of fountains flowing out of them. And everybody's got it in them. There's a lot in that water. We're just looking at salvation today. I like this, verse 10, evangelists perk up. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it, upon the Dead Sea. Say, that's me. I'm a fisherman from Engedi to Inglium. I mean, you're covering the full expanse of the Dead Sea of humanity. That's the world. That's that ocean. Say, launch me, Lord. Everybody wants to be launched. Trust me, I was wanting to be launched 15 years ago when I didn't have anything. 10 years ago when I still didn't have anything. We keep wanting to go do something for God out there, but we don't have what it is he wants us to go labor with yet. And so each time he'd say, no, no, no. I'm like, do you not like me or what? You let somebody else go and run. You ever done that with God? They get to go. When I get to go, when you called my name. Sometimes he lets them go because they have no capacity to go any deeper. Because they've lost all capacity, all he's going to do is take their capacity and expand it as far out to the world as he can. But because he trusts you, because he sees something deeper in you, because he's got something deeper in you, he sees something. Hold on. Just wait a minute. Let me take you further in. Let me teach you. Let me get you to really what you want to take to the world with. Let me get you to the waters. Let me get them flowing in you. Let me get that, and then we'll release it to the world. And I'll be with you to do it. Not only me, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. And he'll do something you could never do. It shall come to pass that the fishermen will stand upon it from Engedi to Inglium, and they shall be a place to spread forth the nets. They're going to cast their nets in the Dead Sea. Say, that's me. You got the water on you. You can cast the net. And the fish shall be according to their kinds, to the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. A very great multitude. A very great multitude. This city's got about 4 million people. So let's just get half of it. Yeah. Then we can have Dallas, because they always come from surrounding cities when something breaks out. So we see Christ inherited the nations. We see the water breaks out. It has salvation in it. And we see a picture in Ezekiel that the waters broke out in a great multitude. So God sets this plan in motion in the book of Acts. All that was prophetic now. He received it. He got the inheritance. Now he's going to set it in motion. Now watch how God does evangelism. He gets them in an upper room. The Spirit of God breaks out. That's the temples. They burst forth.
the living water breaks forth. The Holy Ghost is right there with them. The water's flowing now. First message that Peter preaches. First message that he preaches when the water broke out in the early church. 3,000 people born again. One message, because the living waters broke out. The Holy Spirit stepped in and harvested 3,000 people for the Lord in one message. Because Christ had already received it. Second message. 5,000 people born again. 8,000 members. You'd be mega by then. In two messages, because the waters broke out. What would happen? What will happen when the waters break out of these temples right here in this place? When you know what's in that water. I promise you, all our efforts 20 or 30 years in one session, he'll probably harvest. Next session, it's the Holy Spirit gets to empower those waters. And he can produce a harvest that none of us can produce. None of our wonderful personalities that we have. None of our wonderful ways that we have. Right now, we just take what looks good to the world. Let's be relevant. Let's go preach the gospel of relevancy. Nothing is done of any serious impact. But the whole gospel machine is sitting inside those living waters. And the Holy Ghost has been given. I'm going to read a few scriptures and I'm going to close. Isn't that good? So we've traced it to the right hand all the way to demonstration. You can do that with miracles. You can do that with his government. You can do it with his financial operations. Everything he inherited can be traced down into demonstration, and it comes by the living waters. Acts 5, verse 14, just give you a couple of scriptures and we'll close. Believers, listen, were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both women and men. That's Acts 5:14, Acts 6 and 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Houston, Texas greatly. I don't know what great multiplication is. To me, it'd be more than 10,000, more than 20,000. Great multiplication? He didn't say great addition. Multiplication. This is what we have in store for us when the waters break. Amen. I like this one, Acts 17:6. I'll just read it to you. These have turned the world upside down or come hither also. This city, I promise you, are going to get turned upside down. Not because we are anything special, but we got something very special inside us. Something very special. The Bible says we have this treasure inside our earthen vessel. Christ in us. And the foundation stone, the precious cornerstone, is going to become standing water. He's going to stand up in a fountain of water. And he's going to release upon this city. When Paul went to Iconium, and he preached in Iconium, half the city was converted. In one trip to Iconium, he converted half the city. That's powerful. Philip, when he went down to Samaria, he shook the whole city. Even Simon the great sorcerer had the city bound. You know what we would do with Simon the sorcerer? We'd call a prayer meeting. Have 50 people, I bind that devil, I bind. Philip, he just released the living waters of miracles, signs, and wonders. And Simon the sorcerer, big, bad Simon the sorcerer, he said, he looked at that, he goes, I ain't got that. Sometimes you want to cast the devil out of them. They just come and want you get what you want. They will cast the devil out of them. No, we don't have to go confront the powers of darkness once they see you have something much greater than they've got. Right now, they're not impressed, but they're going to be. Amen. Lord, thank you. What a great inheritance. What a great gift you've given us all. A fountain of living water that will break forth into the nations. Break forth into joy. Let these waters stand upright. Let the living waters, let the rock within us stand up as a living fountain. I want you to see that vision. Let these waters stand up as a living fountain.